Thank you so much. My name is Julie Willems-Van Dyke. I am the Deputy Director of the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps Program at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. My colleague at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Abby Kofsky, was to have been your moderator today, and she sends her regrets. She is from the South New Jersey area and felt it was best to stay home with her family, given the storm. And so she really regrets not being with you here today, but is so pleased of this panel that we have to present to us today, and we know that you will really benefit from what you are going to hear. Angie McGowan from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is in the back of the room, and we want to acknowledge the foundation for their incredible support of this important work, moving the discussion about the many factors that influence health, including especially the social and economic determinants of health, forward. And the foundation has done extraordinary work with seeding the Commission to Build a Healthier America and their focus on determinants of health, and then moving into their support of the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps Program. I am going to give a short presentation before I introduce our first community speaker, and I have nothing to disclose. But how many of you are familiar with the County Health Rankings? Okay, I figured I was probably talking to an audience that had quite a bit of familiarity. But the whole purpose, as you see in this logic model of the rankings, is to pull data together so that we get to that vertical line on the right side, which is that community leaders, such as the folks you meet today, will take action and move forward. So the rankings describe today's health and tomorrow's health using this determinant of health model that I suspect many of you are familiar with, and you can find your community's rankings if you have not previously looked at it at countyhealthrankings.org. But as I said, it's all about taking action, and we know that if we're going to influence all of the determinants of health, it can't be just public health, it can't be just healthcare, it takes all of us, and so I'm very pleased you'll be hearing from leaders from different sectors today. Upon the initial release of the County Health Rankings, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation realized that it was very important to support communities with tools and resources and stories to help us all understand and learn from each other how to move action forward. And so you can see in that box over on the right-hand side, the County Health Roadmaps includes an action center where there are additional tools and resources now on the website. And we provide technical assistance to communities that request it. So one of our presenters today, our colleagues from Wyandotte County, are really someone we've connected with through our resources on the Action Center. The foundation has also funded Roadmaps to Health community grants. Those are actual dollar grants given to communities who are working on policy or systems change in social and economic factors. And one of our presenters today, Alex from Alameda County, will be talking about their work under that program. And you can see that we're working with a number of national partner organizations to help disseminate information about the multiple factors that influence health to their members throughout the nation. Our first national partner is United Way Worldwide, and we'll be hearing from Kate from the Greater Toledo United Way about the work they are doing to move health forward. So you'll find more on the roadmap site. Give a little plug for a new tool we've just put out, What Works for Health. This is a place you can find evidence about policies and programs that address the different determinants of health. For those of you who don't have time to do a literature review, we've already done it for you, and you can come here and find the best literature as you think about action to move forward. And if you're not on our mailing list, we'd love to have you. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our first speaker. The format we'll use today is I'm going to have each of the community leaders come up and present. They will They will talk for about 15 to 20 minutes. Then we'll have a very short discussion period after each presenter for approximately a couple of questions. And then we should have time at the end for discussion with all of the community leaders that you'll hear from today. So we are going to start with our United Way partner. And Kate Sommerfeld is the health manager for the United Way of Greater Toledo. And she oversees implementation of community-wide initiatives and strategies to address community need. And you'll see that Kate does that not only in health, but in education and in income, and has a great story to tell about how they're linking these together. So, Kate.
Good morning. How are you guys? So my name is Kate Sommerfeld. I work for United Way, and I work specifically for United Way of Greater Toledo. And full disclosure, Toledo is about 30 minutes south of Detroit. So I am a Tigers fan. I have a little bit of anxiety being in the city right now. I'm getting out right before the parade tomorrow, so I'm feeling okay, but Julie has her orange and black on, so I'm definitely conflicted in this. So I'm going to talk just for a few minutes about United Way as a whole and our work in Toledo. United Way has been around since the beginning of time almost, the early 1900s. Typically, we have been a large foundation, and people think of us as a fundraising organization. United Way, they give all the money in the community, lots of people donate, and then we kind of disperse it out through the community. And so in the last probably about 10, 15 years, United Way's model has really had to change. What we have found is the issues that local communities are facing are so huge and so complex that no longer is just a simply fundraising model or grant making sufficient to meet these complex needs. And so we have been adjusting our business model to really tackle the big issues impacting communities. There are local communities, local United Ways, one almost in every community nationally, and really addressing local specific issues around the areas of education, income, and health. And really understanding that the complex issues of local communities is going to take a comprehensive strategy, and that we really need families who are financially independent and strong. We need great schools, but we also need strong healthcare systems. And so with those three, education, income, and health, really linking together to strengthen communities nationally. And then again, along with just investing and doing fundraising, also understanding that, again, in these times, that advocacy is a critical issue, both on a local and a federal area. We have to encourage individuals to start being more involved in local issues and state and federal issues, and so increasing advocacy through public policy, but then also volunteering. Some of the issues I know that many of us face in the community is not just about and can't be solved just through money and through advocacy, but it's everyday people getting involved, mentoring, going out to community, doing community gardens, and so really encouraging individuals throughout the nation to get involved and to volunteer within their communities to really begin to change the outcomes. And so the roadmap, the county roadmap that you saw Julie present has really been a useful tool for us. I think visually it provides a really great model of what this really means. Often communities get your roadmap's rankings. Ohio is 72 out of 88 counties for health outcomes, and so really poor. And so it's often seemed like a huge issue across communities. And so this has been a really great tool to help us say, okay, we know where we are right now, but how do we begin to move the needle? And not just say, okay, you know, research and data tells us we're at X, but really begin to take issues. And so this has been a great visual tool for us. But in local communities, as many of you know, it's not in this often pretty diagram, right? A lot of us have wrinkles, and I am starting to get gray hair because it doesn't really work like this. There are local political struggles and challenges and real issues that cause individual communities to really jump through this model. And so that's what we're going to take a look at today, is Toledo specifically, and also United Way as a whole, kind of journey through this process of strengthening communities and ultimately improving population health. So for United Way, again, we are really focused both at a local level and a national on graduation rates and education. Understanding that education is a key social and economic determinant of health, It is also a key indicator both of individuals' health, but also of economic development and stability. And so for Toledo, we are the eighth poorest city in the country. We are very reliant on the automotive industry, and we're very hard hit when Detroit fell. They say if Detroit gets a cough, Toledo gets pneumonia, and unfortunately it's been very true for our local economy. We have struggled in the last 3 or 4 years even more than typical. And so for us, really, we identified graduation rates as a key indicator. Not the end-all be-all by any means. We still need really strong access to health care. We need families who are financially stable and who have banking options. But that if we can all drive towards graduation rates, and if we can see a community-wide indicator change on high school graduation rates, it's really going to improve our total community, including our health care system. And so this is kind of our framework across education, income, and health. Where you see in the middle is a graduation cap. Again, if all the areas on financial stability, on health, and education are working together, we're going to see large change on the high school graduation rates. And as we start to work and develop strategies and have been for about 3 years, we understand that it's not just education and it's not just health, but we really have to start to merge those areas. And so the gray area you see in between the education and the health really are those cross-developed comprehensive strategies. Things such as making sure that children have access to dental care and that dental care is provided in the schools where kids are most readily available. Making sure that our families who come into our low-income schools, our schools that are 98% and higher, free and reduced lunch, have a banking institution and they understand what that means. And for those families that are on free and reduced lunch, that they're on Medicaid and they get health insurance. And so it's really those linking across education, income, and health that's our focus, ultimately driving towards hopefully an increase in high school graduation rates. So in this model, you saw a focus on what's important, and I think this is really critical for local communities, understanding what is the issue, kind of the hot button in your community. Again, for us, it was high school graduation rates. Our Toledo Public Schools is at a 63% high school graduation rates, and when you look at African American males and Latino males, it's about half that. In our public school system, which is a travesty. And so for us in Toledo, again, because we're heavily reliant on the automotive industry, our economy is really struggling, that for us, graduation rates is really that key hot button issue that we could rally the community around. And again, not that it's the end all be all, but that people really understand high school graduation rates. They see the connection to health. Our hospitals understand that if we have a better prepared workforce, that they're going to see a decrease in ER rates, and if our large industries and our business is going to have a better workforce. And so it's really, again, this link when we have about 63% of your city graduating. It's a crisis, and it's something that you can really wave and point to and really begin to mobilize people around to action. So the other part of this model that you saw was the working together piece. And I think for us, again, this is the most critical. And as we talk through local communities across the nation, this is the make or break, right, the working together piece. And I think as we begin to start to address really complex issues, issues like teen pregnancy, hunger, nutrition, early literacy, that it's this working together piece that is critical. We are in a time with really tight budgets, really tight ways to get funding and financial resources, and this idea of collective impact, which has really been a trigger for the nonprofit community specifically, to really understand that we have to start working together. And it's not just about collaborating, right? Because, you know, for the past 10 or 15 years, we've really been in this move to start to collaborate, to work on individual projects, but that it has to be deeper than that. Then not only do we have to collaborate, but we really have to start to align missions and work across communities, and that action has to reinforce each other if we're going to see large-scale change. And so, for instance, if our YMCA is working on summer feeding programs, which is important, we have very high food insecurity issues, that it's not just enough that our YMCA is feeding the children, but that those kids in that summer feeding program have to be getting literacy and economic and issues that's going to help the early slide. And so it's, again, this idea that communities across the nation have to have a framework and a map and a vision and that people from the hospitals and from the business community, that those actions have to be linked, they have to be coordinated, and then they actually reinforce one another. And then lastly, and this is a really critical, and there's been lots of discussion on the backbone support organizations for collective impact. There's this notion that this kind of connected work across communities, it's really going to take a backbone support organization to really drive this. So who in your community has the support, who has the capacity to do this type of work, to help drive the conversations and facilitate, not to own it, but really to provide the resources and the capacity support in local communities. In some communities, this is the United Way. In others, it's the public health department. It's the corporate. It's the chamber. It really depends on what your community looks like, but it's really critical that local communities have that kind of backbone support organization that has the resources and has the capacity to start and to facilitate these type of conversations and then begin to evaluate and to track that work. So again, the collective impact model, you know, the sum is greater than the whole, and so that if the work across communities is actually aligned, if our children in our summer feeding program are getting early literacy skills and are being read to during the school, that we're going to see an increase in early literacy and improvement in kindergarten scores. And so again, this linking of not only vision and mission and agreement of that, but also work across communities. And so for us, this is our model in Toledo. It's around graduating kids, like we said, and that it's that each institution and organization plays a role. Our schools, obviously, are a critical piece, but with our really struggling economy, they can't do it alone, and that the healthcare systems and public health and law enforcement, government, have to come together to really drive this. Not only does it provide really meaningful discussion, but we have gotten a lot more comprehensive strategy development in this. So that if we're sitting down and we're looking at the issue of homelessness, for example, we have someone not only from our public health department and government sitting there, but someone from the business sector sitting there who does housing development. And so this has really lent to comprehensive, really strong strategies because we have multiple voices at the table throughout this process. So this is one of our classic slides as well. It's a picture of a child coming into school with hunger, sickness, and homelessness. And it's this idea that schools are faced with enormous challenges today, and it's not just enough to teach our kids, but we have to deal, and our schools have to deal, with all these really complex issues. And so the conversation has to turn to, how does the community support schools to deal with these issues? How do we align resources so that the schools are supported and that kids are getting these issues fixed? Because ultimately, if a child comes to school hungry or is worried about domestic violence or where they're going to sleep at night, the learning that's going to take place in the classroom is very small. And so, again, it goes back to this collective impact model of how do we begin to engage the homelessness community, the government, public health, our schools, to develop strong kids and strong families and strong communities. The other aha for our United Way network and also for Toledo is around the idea of turning outward. And, you know, the county health rankings has provided a really great kind of flashpoint. We have a really poor ranking. We're 72 out of 88 counties, and so our elected officials, you know, get riled up. We do a press conference, and they get excited. But one of the lessons that we've learned is that it's got to go deeper than this. And United Ways have been very guilty of this. We've looked at the data and looked at the rankings, and we've sat in our office, and we've come up with these brilliant strategies that we're going to place into communities. And without actually talking to the communities that we're serving. And so this has been a real aha for us. We have gone out and we do community conversations. They're very small, kitchen table type of conversations. And ask people, what are your aspirations for your community? What are you facing around the issue of homelessness and hunger? And then ultimately, how do we fix that? Because the truth is that no one more than the people that are suffering and struggling with these issues know the strategies and the solutions better than them. And so we've really gone in this journey of engaging community, and that it's data, but it's also community. And it's got to be the sweet spot where we really define strategies. Our kind of test for our neighborhoods is if, as United Way staff, can we go into North Toledo, which is a very low-income community, and can we stand on a table in North Toledo, and can we say what their aspirations are for their children and for their neighborhoods. What are their challenges? And if we're not able to say that, then we're not authentic and we're not accountable. And we need to go back and we need to talk and learn and hear and gain trust. And so that's been a very big aha for us throughout this process, is data plus community engagement. So the other really important thing around framing issues and generating resources, because that's ultimately what it comes down to, right, is the dollar, is understanding when you start to tackle one issue in a community, one or two issues, is how you frame the issues. And for schools, if you're looking to go in and do a public health issue, tobacco cessation or something like that, really making the academic case to schools. They're bombarded with tons of requirements from state and federal, and we have to learn and start talking the school language and talk about the academic benefits. Again, the business, the workforce and quality of life, and then hospital, the health outcomes. And if you start to talk the language of the sectors, you start to get a lot more buy-in from that. And then finally is around generating resources. One of the models that we've been using is constituent relationship management. And it's just this idea that we have to begin to build relationships and that with relationships come money and dollars. And so really going in and understanding what is the corporate's social responsibility. Every corporation has one. For some it's hunger, for some it's education, but understanding what that issue is. Both for individuals and for corporations, and then beginning to engage them in the conversation very early on of, okay, Fifth Third Bank, your issue is around early literacy, and so what do you see from your employees in Fifth Third Bank, and then how do we start to engage them in that process? We've seen a huge increase in dollars and in revenue through this process. Again, it's around relating to the individual or to the corporation, discovering what are their issues, what's their corporate social responsibility, their mission, and then advocating, plugging them in, and then supporting them through that process. Just a few lessons learned, I think, that we talked about, again, is focus. When we get the county health rankings, there are a lot of the social determinants of health, and there are sometimes very alarming numbers. But for us, it's been really key to pick one community indicator and to drive that. It doesn't mean that the strategies aren't complex and diverse, but it really helps with communication and marketing. So they can say, Toledo, we're about graduating kids. We have comprehensive strategies, but this is how it looks with. The other is the planning versus action I just want to talk about. For so long in public health especially, we can plan until the end of time. But at some point, we have to jump in and we have to start the process. And so for us around corner stores, we jumped in. We did some planning. Our partners knew that we were going to be flexible through the process, that we were going to evaluate. But you have to jump in to sometimes understand what the issues are. And then lastly, the policy versus program piece. For us, we were very heavy on programming and we kind of shifted over to policy. And so it's been a really key lesson for us that it's got to be both. It's got to be programming and it's going to be policy, and that we don't know what policies we have to change until we understand and have a good feel for the programmings and have quality programming. So that, again, the policy versus programming is really critical. You have to have a balance to do both. And then again, people, it's all about relationships and communication, and I think that's been one of our real wins as we start to actually see increases in our high school graduation rates and hopefully next year our county health rankings. All right. Thank you guys so much.